Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us here today and even give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you this afternoon. Our telephone lines are open. You can call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Or you can call the regular line at 216-901-0933. Let's go ahead and open with a word of prayer here this afternoon. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for a beautiful day today. We just pray you bless. Use the program today for your glory. Help us lift up and glorify Christ through the things that we talk about. And we just pray that we can encourage people in their walk with Christ. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to have you with us today. And again, just before I get into a few things here today, just want to remind you, you can find out more about our program at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And there's a link to our Facebook page there. And I try to get a few pieces of information on there, some various news items and things that I'm looking at, find interesting and like to share there. So you can find us livewithpastoral.com, and then also check out our face page from the link there. You can find past programs there as well as information about our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. Certainly invite you to visit us there. And you can also listen to our past programs there as well as excerpts from some of our programs. And you can even listen to our Sunday night programs that are there. If you're not aware, we have a Sunday night program, 11 o'clock until midnight every Sunday night, an hour with calls and questions from people about the Bible and current events. But if you've got a call today, you can, a question today, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. And we have Fran on the line already. Fran, welcome to Live with Pastor Al today.
Okay, thank you. I'm calling in about the income tax refunds. They're saying a lot of people didn't get theirs. I know I haven't gotten mine.
Income tax refunds? Okay.
Yeah. And they think that they said the things were hacked, the computers for the government, I guess. I heard that.
There's been a story in the news. I guess the Chinese devote a lot of energy into cyber warfare techniques. And they recently, it's pretty much believed that they're the ones who hacked the federal government and got personnel records, information on all government employees. And I was reading a thing last night, even veterans information that's on the federal servers. But as far as the tax information part of it goes, I really don't know if that would have anything to do with that. Not being an expert in the taxes, I know that there's always, if you got computers, there's always somebody trying to get into them.
Right.
Had you heard something?
Not on that, no. I just heard that about the basic hacking.
Yeah.
I talked to our new Spanish group. They said the government ran, cut back a lot of their workers that make, process these checks and everything.
I really don't know a whole lot about this. Yeah, there's probably some other people that do. I do know that some people have experienced. I've just noticed this reading in our local paper down in Summit County. We get this weekly paper called the West Side Leader, and they put things from the police blotters in the local communities that they serve. And I just noticed this year in particular, a lot of people complaining about somebody filed taxes using their name. And so I would suggest that if you filed taxes and you were expecting a return, that you might want to talk to somebody who knows a bit more about taxes and to find out, just in case, somebody, did that. Because I just noticed there's a lot of cases like that this year.
Well, I talked, they said senator's office will help you, I talked to a lady just going to try to get our state tax
Right.
The bigger check, she'll pass it on and find out what happened. So if I send in for information, someone to check it out for me. Yeah.
Well, I hope you can find out something about that. It can be distressing.
Yeah, another friend of mine did hers in February, and she's going to get hers. I did mine early April, me and my daughter.
I know that if you file electronically, you usually get it back faster than if you file through the mail.
Yeah, because the mail could misplace a check, or I sent the city check in, and they never got it by mail. I just have to break a piece off, because I usually break even with them, and I sent it back. They never received it, so I don't know what's going between the mail and even now with the electronic stuff,
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody out there is going through similar things. That first year I know that, been way off track.
Yeah. I would definitely pursue that with somebody who, is knowledgeable about taxes.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
Well, no problem. I appreciate the call. Like I said, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you. And you can call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this afternoon. And taxes can be quite taxing, that's for sure. Let me touch on something here as well this afternoon that I was thinking about. I had read this essay that a guy by the name of Neil Shenvey had written, and don't know a whole lot about his background, but he wrote this essay called Three Paradoxes of Atheism. And I'm not going to go through the whole article, but basically the three paradoxes are truth-seeking, moral motivation, and there's a third one, I'm not sure right offhand which it is, moral reflection, that's it. And the idea is that if there is no afterlife, if there is no God, if everything is purely material, and we're simply, our freedom of thought and choice is nothing but an illusion, because it's nothing but the result of the interaction of fundamental physical forces and particles, that gives us the illusion of free thought and free choice. That if that all is the case, then why would people seek after truth? Why would there be moral reflection and moral motivation? And rather than go through all three of those, I was looking at the idea of truth seeking, and it's that fundamental attack on truth and making truth relative that we can see happening a lot in the world around us. That's what got me thinking about this, is this attack on truth. Because as Shenvey writes in his essay here, he talks about the intrinsic value of truth-seeking. And it's something that we find in believers and non-believers, a desire to seek out the truth. I mean, anybody's ever watched a law program, whether it's Perry Mason or in the past, or some of the newer programs today, where they try to seek out the truth. What really happened at this crime scene? Who's really the guilty party? And if you read a mystery or something like that, again, there's that desire to ferret out what really happened, what's really going on, find out the truth. And even the drive in much of scientific investigation to find out truth about what's happening. Of course, except in biology, they want to ignore the truth and follow the lie of evolution. That's a whole other area. But this idea of truth-seeking, and it's as if there's something that's programmed into us to seek after truth. Even Pilate, when Jesus was being arraigned before him, and it was the interchange with Pilate, Pilate said to Jesus, he said, "What is truth?" And that's a question that's been asked. And it's very simple to find out what truth is if we look at the Word of God. And I believe this is one of the reasons that God has put within the human being a desire to know what truth is. And there's a passage in the Gospel of John, and chapter 17 in verse number 17, the Bible says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And what that's talking about is God's word. God's word is truth. The psalmist said, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." His word is truth and right. And God is the author of truth. And he's given us, I believe, this desire to seek after truth. Because there's truth in God's word. And when John writes here in John 17, 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth." That's God's truth. We're to be sanctified through God's truth. He's recording Jesus' words here. And sanctify means to be set apart. And it's important that we see people set apart through God's truth. Because, you know, we like to fool ourselves. We like to tell people, "Well, I'm not so bad. I'm certainly not as bad as that guy." Well, I watched the news last night and I saw somebody killed somebody or somebody robbed somebody or somebody did this, somebody did that. "Oh, I don't do things like that. I'm not as bad as that guy." And we like to fool ourselves with that and think we're not so bad, we're okay. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the glory of God, of course, is found in his absolute perfection. There is absolutely no imperfection in God. You know, they measure the purity of diamonds in carats. And, you have flaws in diamonds which reduce their value. You can go to certain places and you can buy a bunch of diamonds cheap, but they're industrial grade diamonds that they use for cutting purposes. They use them for grinding, things like that. And the reason these diamonds are so cheap is they're flawed. They're pieces that have been chipped off when they cut diamonds and different things like that, or maybe in the cutting process they've messed it up and all that. But they're flawed. They're imperfect. What makes a diamond of great value is the more perfect it is, the more perfect its value is. And we see this in many areas. I remember when I was younger, I was involved in 4-H, and I used to show rabbits. I raised rabbits, and we used to show them at rabbit shows and at the Summit County Fair, growing up, going to 4-H Club. And you know, the object was to produce your rabbit of a particular breed that was as perfect as possible according to the standard. And the more you your rabbit conformed to the standard, the better it would place in a show. Later on, when I was in the Air Force, I was stationed over in England, and through a series of events, I actually got into showing cats. And I actually raised Abyssinian cats for a while, and I had an Abyssinian cat that I had several, and they were pretty good. I took them to several shows around England, and I took one to the National Cat Show down in London, and it actually was the best of show in the kitten class, I think it was, if I remember correctly. And it was kind of nice because they were talking about how well it conformed to the standard. And, you know, you're trying to make it as perfect as possible. And God's perfection is his glory. And the absolute perfection of God is found in the fact that he has no imperfection in him. He is only truth. His word is truth. And when we understand God's truth, the unsaved person, when he comes to realize that God's word is truth, he's going to be sanctified in the sense that he's different from other unsaved people who do not understand that. Because when God moves on their heart and gives them understanding that God's word is truth, then it begins to resonate in their heart, and they begin to see themselves and the imperfections that we have compared to the absolute perfection of God himself. Well, not only is God's word truth, but if you look in the Gospel of John and chapter 14, and we look down in verse number 6, or up in verse 6, depending on your perspective, I guess, Jesus makes this statement. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we see here that God's word is truth, which means that it cannot be in error. People who believe that the Bible is, mostly true, it contains truth, they have a problem. God's word is truth, or it's not. It's perfect, or it's not. I believe that God gave his word by inspiration. It's given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He gave it to us perfectly. And God promised that he would take that word that he gave to us, and he gave it to us perfect, that he would preserve that word. Psalm 12, in Psalm 12, in verse number 6 and 7, it says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." Seven's the number of perfection there, so the teaching there, the understanding there, by using that statement, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times, that's a metaphorical statement there to illustrate the purity of the fact that the words of the Lord are pure words. They're perfectly pure. And then he says in verse 7, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." So we're going to find God's word today. And I believe it has been perfectly preserved for us in the Hebrew Masoretic text, in the Greek Textus Receptus, or majority text, or received text, as it's called. And that has come down to us in the English language in the King James Version of the Bible. So God's word is truth. And then Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, he is also truth. There can be no error in him. There can be no lie in him. God is not a man that he can lie. That's one of the impossibilities for God. People wonder, is there anything God cannot do? A lot of people say, oh, God can do anything. There's nothing God cannot do. Well, I would beg to differ with you. God cannot lie. That's something God cannot do, because God, and Jesus Christ is God, he's God the Son, God is truth, and in him there is no lie. God cannot lie. And so we know that he'll never start lying, because he is truth. He's the embodiment of truth. He created truth. He gave us truth. And so he said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And he said that Jesus, the Son, said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And we can see those things combined together over in, again, in the Gospel of John, chapter number 1 here. Let me turn back here. John chapter 1 and verse number 14. The Bible says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and," here's that word again, "truth." Now, the Word was made flesh. Well, who is this Word? Well, let's go up to the beginning of the chapter, John chapter 1, and verse number 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word," and Word is capitalized there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now, I'm going to pause that verse for a moment. There's a reason that I'm pausing before I read the rest of the sentence. The Jehovah's Witnesses, amongst others, but Jehovah's Witnesses are probably the most familiar to people. The Jehovah's Witnesses, they teach that Jesus Christ is a created being. And, of course, the Mormons teach the same thing, and Muslims teach the same thing. But I picked on the Jehovah's Witnesses purposely for this verse here, because they agreed with the fact in the beginning. They believe, as do others, that God created Jesus Christ, and then through Jesus Christ, he created the heavens and the earth. So they would agree in the beginning was the Word, and they would agree that the Word was with God. But here's where the Bible differs from the Jehovah's Witnesses, from the Mormons. And of course, the Mormons believe that Jesus Christ was the physical offspring of a union between Jehovah, who came to the earth and had a physical relationship with Mary and produced Jesus as their son in the normal biological sense of the term. And that's, of course, goes back to the false teaching of the Jehovah's Witnesses that as God is, man once was, and as man, as man is, God once was, and as God is, man can be. And they believe that God was once a man who had a father, who had become a God, who was once a man, who had a father, who became a God, who was once a man, yeah, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know how far back they would carry that, but they believe in a succession of gods producing children which grow up to become gods, et cetera, et cetera. And then, of course, the Muslims believe that Jesus was merely a prophet, and if you believe that he was God in the flesh, you're an infidel. And if you believe that he died on the cross, you're an infidel. In other words, if you believe what the Bible teaches about Jesus, you're an infidel. But the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and the Muslims would all agree in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Maybe the Muslims would not agree with the first part of that, but the Word was with God, and the Word, here's the part that separates from these false religions, false teachings. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, that's the division. In fact, that so irritated the Jehovah's Witnesses that they determined to put together their own Bible, and they call it the New World Translation. And in this particular location here, they departed from every other text that they could find. And they reworded it to say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was, they put the little letter A in there, and they changed the G of God to a lowercase g, so it said, and the Word was a God, meaning a lesser God, but not the God, Jehovah God, creator of heaven and earth. And they did that by their own testimony. I read a book by a guy that was on the translation committee, and he said that their justification for doing that was a rendition of John chapter 1 in German by a defrocked Roman Catholic priest by the name of, I believe, Johann Gerber, who by his own admission had gotten the translation from a devil, a false spirit, in a basically in a cult setting, and this false spirit told him that he should write, and the Word was a God with a little g. Of course, that was in German, and so they used that as the basis for that in the New World Translation. Well, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, the Bible said, and he said he was full of grace and truth. The Word, as we see, is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. This is Jesus, because the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Well, what is the mystery of godliness that Paul wrote to Timothy? It was that God was manifest in the flesh. And see, God and his Word are interchangeable. If God is perfect, then his Word must be perfect. If God is truth, then his Word must be truth. The Word of God is from the heart of God, given to us by inspiration of God, and has been preserved by the Holy Spirit of God so that we can have it today. We need to find out the Word of God. It's the Word of God that tells us of our imperfection. It's the Word of God that tells us that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by him. And it's through the Word of God that we find out that Jesus Christ, as God in the flesh, died on the cross where he shed his blood to pay for our sin. If we'll confess our sin and accept what Jesus did on the cross, believe in our heart that Jesus died and was buried and rose again the third day victorious over sin and death, we can have the forgiveness of sin, and we can become a child of God. God's word, this truth, tells us that. Thanks for listening. Join us next week. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.